Welcome to Fox Valley Church. My name is John Sitzler. I'm the lead pastor. I'm excited that you decided to listen to this message. Isaiah 61 states that we can be like great oak trees planted by the Lord. That's our goal for you. Yes, you. So as you listen to this message, be ready for what God wants to bring to your attention. I believe that you're going to encounter God as you listen. I really do. Are you ready? Let's discover what God has planned.
Now, this is interesting because I've never, this is the first time I've done this here in the main service. I've talked a couple of times in youth, and actually this all started because Daniel had asked me to speak real briefly on, we had kind of little, little short sermons that we did in youth, and I did one of them, and God had really spoken to me about that and had been working on something in my life and in my heart for a long time. And then when I gave that message, it really spoke to me. And then when Pastor John talked about a couple of Sundays later, he had given a message, and it just came back to me like, wow, that was really good. And so I talked to Pastor John and told him, I said, you know, I just want you to know this is what God spoke to me in youth, and I think this is how it relates, and I just found it really awesome. And then he asked me if I would share, and I said, all right, yeah, I mean, I will, because I think it's important. Right, I think it's important when God speaks something to us that we don't necessarily just keep it to ourselves, right? Because rarely when God speaks to us, is it just for us? Sometimes it is, sometimes. But when God's speaking to us, we're all better for hearing the voice of God. Do you believe that? That when any of us hear the voice of God, we're all better for hearing it and knowing it, right? And what I'm going to talk about this morning is responding to blindness, because all of us have blindness in our lives. All of us have things that we are blind to about ourselves, possibly about others, but there are things that we have in our lives that we are blind to. And the reason that I mentioned, you know, the word from all of us is because we can't often recognize the blindness in ourselves, right? Have you ever experienced that where I might be completely and utterly blind to something, but I have no idea because I'm blinded, right? I don't know about it. I just keep going in the same way I'm going and would continue on to my own destruction unless somebody's morning. I'll try to keep it under 2 hours. No, I'm teasing. I really hope that what I've been praying for is that God's Spirit speaks to everybody that's here, that will speak to you, okay? So let's take a moment and just make sure that we are ready for God's Spirit to speak to us. Now, you would be here with us, and you want to work in our lives if we will let you. And I pray that that you would be at work in every life that's here in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are going to be a lot of stories, because I like to talk about Abby and Isaac. No, I'm teasing. They won't. But they need a lot of help. No. The first thing I want to talk about, fun of me for it, if you want to put that first picture up there. I had to bring golf in, all right? It's just, I'm a big-time golfer. I love to play golf. I like it is because it's really, really hard. Okay? If you've ever played golf, you know that golf is and you have to work at it a lot to get better at it, all right? It is really hard. This is the swing of than anybody else. If you want a golf swing, that's it. So, right, it's simple. All you got to do is just do that, right? Now, Dave isn't here. I was going to use him as an example, but, you know, Dave let me down. Eric, if I just come to you and say, Eric's just started playing golf, just do that. Right? How easy is that? Not easy. And there's a reason. There's a reason, okay? Because you'll hear people who don't know what they're doing tell you, just swing naturally, okay? What I've experienced is there's absolutely nothing natural about a good golf swing, okay? Nothing. Nothing natural about a good golf swing. So that's terrible advice. What you have to do is pick little pieces of things to work on and work on those things over and over and over again until you're tired of working on them. and then move on to the next little thing. Okay? That's how you get better at golf. Very small things can make a huge difference to the outcome. Nothing feels natural. A little bit. Glenn will tell me, Aaron, I need more of this out of you. And I'll be like, Glenn, I'm getting any more than that, right? I'm bending, like I'm doing more than Tiger Woods. And okay? And I think there's something that we can learn from this. Really easy to have a disconnect between what we believe and how we behave. Exactly like Tiger Woods. What I'm doing is absolutely nothing like that. Maybe I can possibly bend. And then Glenn touches and I go farther. After about 5 years of golf lessons, some of these things have finally started natural about living as a Christian. So why would we have a lot of hard work to get where we want to be? There's nothing we wouldn't have had to die. So there is nothing natural. The Bible is very clear. Many times throughout the Bible, we have to work at it. So the verse that I want to talk about, chapter 3 and verse 17, is the verse that I want to hit on here. But I'm going to read from verse 1, because I really like what the chapter says, because, you know, context is important when you read the Bible, not just a single verse. So, raised to new life, I'm in the NLT if you want to follow the same translation. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, it's on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time to get rid of all of these things. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive some people who offend you. Anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Here we go. And this is the whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Tiger Woods golf swing. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of God. Paul wouldn't have had to say all those things if it just came naturally to us. And what we have to do to get there and be able to live like that we do should represent the Lord Jesus. That's what that just told us. Every single plans or anything. How many times have you read that passage? I've read this scripture 3:17 lots of times. Out. It's easy to get Bible blindness. You read it because you've read it 100 times before, versus pausing for a minute and letting that sink in for a minute, saying, there's something there. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at a story in Exodus that just brings us to life a little bit. I'm already seeing that I'm going to run out of time if I don't hurry up. But in Exodus, if you want to go to that next one, God delivers Israel from Egyptian slavery, right? And most of us know this story. If not, you can go read it in Exodus chapter. The Israelites have been in slavery for a long time. God brought Jacob's family to Egypt, from out of Egypt. So he brings 10 plagues to Egypt. Supernatural plagues, okay? Some of them Israel experience. Some of them only Egypt experience supernatural because it's everywhere in the land other than where the Israelites are. So God is doing work to bring them of Egypt, all right? So we have the plagues. They've finally, all of the firstborns in Egypt are killed, and Pharaoh agrees to let them go, and they are leaving, and they're on their way, and they reach the Red Sea, okay? And they come to the Red Sea. Now remember, God has just done a multitude of miracles for them. All right, they're out of Egypt. They're on their way. They come to the Red Sea, and then we get to verse 14:10. Pharaoh decides that he doesn't want to let them go, so he starts chasing after them. And this is what happens. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. After 14 miracles that God did in getting them out of their previous scenario, they come to a body of water, they look up and they see the Egyptians and they panic. Not only that, if you keep reading, they say, Moses, why did you bring us out here to die? We would have been better off in Egypt, where we had all kinds of food and water, which they didn't. They're lying. But they're remembering back to what they had, and they say, if only we would have stayed in Egypt. At the first sign of resistance, they panic. So here's what we can learn from this story. If you want to go to the next slide. Here's the problem. We rely too much on what we see. The Israelites saw Egypt coming and they panicked. They had no idea what God's plan was or anything, but they saw them coming and they panicked. And then they were comfortable where they were. They wanted to go back to slavery versus stay where God wanted them to be and let God do what he wanted to do. They wanted to go back to slavery. We get comfortable where we are. And we think we know what will happen. They looked at it and said, Egypt's coming. We're going to be destroyed. They were completely blinded by 400 years of slavery, completely blinded to what God wanted to do in that situation. And Moses had to tell them, just be still and watch God work. How many times do we need to hear that? Just quit talking, be still, and watch God work. But we don't, because we believe what we see, we're comfortable where we are, and we think we know what's going to happen. This is a problem. Now, them assuming they were going to die was fair play, because they were going to die if God didn't intervene, okay? But they were called as God's chosen people, and God had brought them there, which is different. We get used to the way things happen in the world, and then we apply that and say the same thing is going to happen with God. Versus understanding that God has a completely different plan than what happens in the world. So here is our battle. You know, God was trying to teach Israel who he was. And this is a metaphor for our lives today, right? That story of Israel, there is so much parallelism and things in that to how God brings us out of our old life into a new life, and how he transforms us and has to teach us what it is to live like a Christian and to live for him. So this leads to a conflict that we all experience. Are we going to do what's right or what is natural? And you can read Romans 7 and 8 if you want. Paul talks a lot about that. What I wish I did, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I do. Everybody has the same battle, right? But the battle is, on the right, the things that God talks about, and on the left, the things that we learn by living in the world. We learn that success is more important than sacrifice. That you have to go after your own success or you'll never get anything. We're taught that fame is more important than faithfulness. Where people who are famous and have all kinds of stuff, you know, are so much more important and so much more interesting than the people who live their lives every day and do what they're supposed to do and are faithful to their call. We believe that we've learned that selfishness is better than service. I got to look out for me. Otherwise, I'm not going to get what I need. Versus what God preaches says, serve others. We've learned that popularity is more important than people. If I can be popular, then I can make myself feel better than the other people who are being bullied or taken advantage of in the process. And oftentimes, we respect that more than those people who are being taken advantage of. We reward talent more than teamwork. Because oftentimes, talent wins. But is it more important to win or to win the right way? We reward ego more than empathy. It's more important for me to be right than for me to feel what that other person is feeling and come to where they are. My opinion is more important than me being open to hearing what you have to say or what someone else has to say. And greed versus generosity. I want what I want. Who cares about anything else? Every single one of us experiences this battle, okay? Every one of us. So I don't want anybody to take away from this that I'm coming up here and saying, I've got all of the right-hand things figured out here, okay? And I'm going to tell you an example here in a minute, because this is where God started speaking to me. I watch some golfers on YouTube, and they have different teams that they play on, and one of the teams is called Team Working On It. I'm on Team Working On It, okay? Let's talk about ego. At my job, I'm a senior technical leader. It is my job to make sure that all of the product development that happens on my product line goes out and goes out effectively and delivers what it's supposed to deliver to the consumer. I've been doing this for 23 years. I have lots of innovations that have gone out that I've launched, that I've been a part of. I'll say that, in general, I'm pretty respected. My opinion matters to people at Kimberly-Clark because I've had a lot of experience doing it. And we got a new person in a leadership role. We did not agree about how to do things. I was not happy that we were changing something that I did not like. I thought it was 100% the wrong way to go about it. And I went and had a conversation with a couple of people. We were talking about it. And I got upset and really let him have it. And afterwards, I started thinking about it a little bit. And I heard God speak to me. And he asked me, he said, when did you get to the point where you're above reproach? Since when do you know everything? Good question. I tried thinking about, well, like in this scenario, you know. And God spoke to me, and I knew that what I had done and how I had behaved in that meeting was 100% wrong. Whether I was right or not. At that point, it became not about whether I was right, but what I had left those people with. So I had to go. I scheduled another meeting with the group, and in front of all of them, I apologized to every one of them. And I said, you know what? Said, regardless of whether we agree or disagree on this, people come first. And our relationship is more important than whether that's right or wrong or what we choose to do. Because the Bible talks about people being more important. And since then, it has continued where there are situation after situation after situation where I have to check myself and ask whether I'm just being a certain way because of my own personal ego about it or whether it's worth making it into a bigger deal. And if it is, how do I do it in a way that people are still first? Because I can tell you this, I had to think about, how do I want people at Kimberly-Clark to remember me? They say that people remember how you made them feel more than they will remember what you said to them. how was I making people feel at Kimberly Clark? We've had a lot of missionaries come lately. I truly believe that I'm a missionary to Kimberly Clark. And is that what I want people to remember me by? That I have the biggest ego of any technical leader at Kimberly Clark? It's not what I want people to remember me by. Now, granted, we all have different personalities. I'm never going to be, you know, my wife, right? She's very endearing and, you know, that's just not how I am. But I don't have to be an egomaniac. I don't have to be in love with my own opinion. I don't have to believe success and fame are more important. Right? I don't have to do all of those other things, right? I can be who I am and yet let Jesus come through at the same time. Because it is really, really important that we choose Jesus over all of the things that are so easy for us to fall into. I'm sad that it had to come to that before I recognized how far off track I was. Charisse's point when she spoke was a good one too, about your attitude. What is your attitude? My attitude was probably bad, but that wasn't the issue of what I was dealing with. What I was dealing with was my own ego. I wanted to be right. So, what do we do? If you go to the next slide, I'm going to bring us back to the passage, and I'm going to go to the verse before 17. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. And then let everything you do represent Jesus. If we're full of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, then we are more likely to behave as a representative of Jesus. It's simple math, right? The more you have something in your mind, the more likely you are to talk about it, or to act on it, or to do something with it. Why do Dave and I always talk golf when we get together? Because we think about it a lot. Okay? If we have no connection to God's Word, then we're going to default to a state of doing what is natural. It's God's Word and His Spirit that keeps us doing things that are right. The farther away we move from that, the more we are going to do things that are natural. And the longer we do them, the more blind we become to the things that are natural versus the things that are right. So, here's the solution. You will never change unless you choose. Now, that's missing something, though, because we know that this isn't true. You can choose all you want. How many people have New Year's resolutions? How many people would love to lose some weight? I mean, you know, take your pick, right? There are things. If I just choose, no, that's not really it, okay? We know that you have to choose Jesus. You have to choose something. You can't just choose to stop doing one thing. You have to choose to start doing something else. I can play 40 rounds of golf and shoot badly the whole time and decide next time I'm going to play better. But if I don't get any lessons, I'm not going to play better. If I don't figure out what's going on, I'm never going to get any better. Because it doesn't rely on our own power. It relies 100% on Jesus. Now, again, I can hear everybody saying, ah, this is great, Aaron. Choose Jesus. How many hundreds of times have I heard that? I know. Stay with me. Right? It's like looking at Tiger Woods' golf swing and say, just do that. So God spoke to me. This is a piece that God personally spoke to me about, and I believe this is what he really wants me to share today. God challenged me to do something, and I accepted the challenge, and again, I'm working on it. So here is my challenge for you. Learn the truth and choose Jesus. I'm going to give you two things that you can do, because this is what God spoke to me, and I've been trying to put into practice in my life, and it's working. Okay? Number one, if any of you are interested, this first one is going to be a really big eye-opener and an interesting challenge for you. How are you going to work on something if you don't know what to work on? Where are the areas you're blind to? I challenge you to ask a family member or a close friend. All of us should be in a life group, right? All of us should have someone that we can speak to. I challenge you to talk with them and ask them about your reputation with them and how you make them feel. If your marriage is struggling, don't do this with your spouse. Okay? You pick someone else, because that could be bad. And remember, this is not permission to rip somebody apart. What I'm talking about here is having a conversation together about areas that you both might be blind to. Remember the compliment sandwich approach. Something good, something you need to work on, something good. Okay? So if you are serious about dealing with blindness, you are going to have to find out where the areas are you are blind to. So that's challenge number one. I talked with John. John and I are going to do this together. Okay? So I've already agreed that we're going to do this. Jen gives me this feedback all the time. Now, I remember when I was talking about this, just how it goes is that I was saying, we were having a family conversation. I was saying, boy, it's just, and this is true, hearing God's voice can be hard for me. It just is. I don't hear it the same way that John talks about it. It's different for me, all right? So it can be different. It's difficult for me to specifically feel like I've heard God's voice, okay? It can be hard. Maybe I'm the only one, but I'm just being honest with you. And we were talking about it, and I was like, the times that I kind of hear God's voice the most have been when we've been at camp or when we've been in places where we've been specifically thinking about those things and doing those things, and it gives God a chance to move and work, and then I hear his voice. And my wife says, well, you know, you fill your time with a lot of things. Fair enough. That's probably a blind spot. There's probably a reason why I don't hear God's voice as much as I would like to if I'm filling my time with a bunch of things that aren't listening for God's voice. And once I started taking some action to fix that, well, wow, I start hearing God's voice a little bit. And one of the things that God spoke to me, so I don't know, most of you probably don't know me, but I'm very sarcastic, okay? And we have a little joke that says the Shilp family responds to negative reinforcement. We're very truthful people, okay? We just are. And so there were some things that I wanted my family to know. I wanted to share some things with them. Isaac's 18, Abby's 22. They're getting older. Our time with them is coming to an end. And there are some things that I wanted to, that sounded, living in the house. We're still, right, okay, sorry. Overly dramatic. Our time living together in that way is coming to an end, okay? And I wanted them to be aware of some things that I felt, but if I went and talked to them about it, they'd probably just be like, whatever. Because it's right. So God spoke to me and said, write each one of them a letter for Christmas. And so I did. I wrote all three of them a letter for Christmas and made sure that they knew what I wanted them to know about how much I loved them, how I felt about them, how important they were, what God was doing in their life, how I had prayed for them. And I know Abby said that she really appreciated that. She sent me a picture, a text afterwards. It was funny. She just got tears everywhere. And Isaac never said anything, so I don't know what he thinks about it. But Isaac and I oftentimes, reason why that's important is because Isaac and I oftentimes view things very differently. We've clashed a lot growing up. Not that we don't love each other, but we just do things differently, okay? But I wanted him to know that regardless of that, he doesn't have to earn anything with me, right? Even though I may want to teach him how to do things on his own, how to be better, how to get better, how to be the best you can be. That's what I want to teach him. But I can't do that and not have him know that none of that really matters when it comes to how much I love you. Right? And God spoke to me about that. So my point in all of this, the second part, choose Jesus. What do you love to do? What is a hobby that you love to do? Something that you're like, you know, I love to do. I'll just, Daniel, what is the thing you love to do? Fishing. I knew it. Do you forget to go fishing? So, what if you tithe the first portion of the time that you would spend doing that activity to God? So what I started doing is every time I go to hit golf balls, I'll pull out my phone and I'll do a Bible plan. Because before I do what I want to do, I want to learn what you want me to do. Have I been 100% perfect with it? No. But I'm working on it. And every time I do it, God speaks to me. Because I'm giving something that is important to me and saying that is secondary to what you want to speak to me, God. We never forget to do the things we love to do. We forget to do the things that we're so-so on. So if you make it a point to do the thing that you need to do, every time you think about doing the thing you want to do, you will find that you're doing the things you need to do more regularly. So I challenge you to do those two things. I can tell you that God has worked in my life and he's changed some things in my life. And I needed it. I had really started getting burned out on a lot of things. I'd given up on some things. But when I reconnect with God and I let his life pour into me, it was refreshing. It's like you hadn't had a drink of water in 2 weeks. All I've been drinking was Mountain Dew. inside joke. So here's my question for you. We know all this is right. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered when you interact with people? Because we got to choose the right things, not the natural things. And we got to do something to get there. Amen?
First of all, where's my letter? You wrote all of them letters. I want a letter.
I'll write you one at the beginning of next football season, okay?
Oh. Can you guys all remember next September to help me remember to yell at him about still
yes.
not getting me my
right.
letter?
Right.
I want everybody to know something because we're friends. Mm-hmm. I've known you a long time. And you specifically talked about some work stuff. And I've seen Aaron do that not just in a sermon for today. It's been months and weeks of working through these things. So I want you to understand the credibility that he has. But more importantly than that, I've known you for years. This is your best sermon ever.
It's my only one, but yeah.
But again, because you're living it out over all these years that I've seen you, I'm really proud of you. Mm. I'm glad that you're my friend. And I know a little bit more than these people, some of the stuff.
Yep.
And you keep doing it.
Yep.
And you keep working it. And you keep working on you and Jesus.
Yep.
And I just want to say thanks for doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I appreciate you. You can go if you want now. Okay. I'm done messing with you. I kind of cheated because Aaron told me about this, so I started with the challenge with some people in my life already, talking to them. It's not easy to walk up to somebody, and remember, choose wisely. Where do you see blind spots in me? I mean, you're basically saying, rip me apart here, and I'm open to that. But Jesus physically did that. He had no blind spots, but he said, here I am, pull me apart, I'll do it. And I think if we actually start to, because what Aaron said is true, we have no clue some of the dumb things that we're doing. We have no clue some of the things that aren't right in us. And sometimes that person needs to pray with us for a little bit to figure some of these things out. And again, you got to be incredibly supportive and encouraging and affirming as you go through this stuff when you're talking to people about their struggles, because it's hard for some of us to hear that kind of stuff. But you know what? If you do, you will find your life going from this level to this level. Because the things that we do that aren't good for us stop us from advancing into what God does have for us. And there may be some things that come up that are going to be hard to deal with, or I don't want to deal with, or you may very well know the junk that's coming, that's going to be said. You may know that. And you've been avoiding it for years. Don't do that. The Lord is saying, now is the time to start to deal with it. He is for you. He is going to help you. He will be there with you every step of the way. And guess what? I will too. Aaron will too. This entire church will be with you. We'll walk through it together. Steve, is it okay if I talk about what you shared in the lobby before? Steve was talking about the first time he came and he got into a small group and everybody was kind of sharing. They asked, you know, the icebreaker question. And he was a little embarrassed by the answer that he was going to give. And he just went ahead and gave the answer anyway.
And then somebody else in the group said, I'm the same way. You know what I mean? You'll be, guess what? There's nobody perfect here in this room. We don't have a perfect church, and that's kind of on purpose because I wouldn't fit in otherwise. And neither would you. But let's begin this process of going through that. And then again, the fun things you'd like to do, start with God. You know what I mean? Pray first before you start getting into whatever that fun thing you'd like to do. If you're not spending time with the Lord, man, talk to me. Talk to your life group leader. Find one of us. We will help you. It's not that complicated. It's about doing it, though. And there are some concrete things that you can do that we can help. Would you stand with me? Prayer team, would you come? Aaron, Jen, would you mind joining us up here, too? And if you would like prayer about anything, about what Aaron talked about today, prayer for healing, prayer for provision, something going on in your life, whatever it is, we've got team members up here happy to pray with you. But I don't want you to move any further without just saying, I'm going to step into that challenge. I don't know about you, but I want to be a church that sees challenges and attacks them. I don't want to be a church of where, oh, here's a challenge. I'm going to wait back for a while, and I'm going to sit back for a while and wait for that time to pass and then continue living how I have lived. Let's be one of those churches that says, hey, this is going to be hard for us, but we're going to do it anyway. Amen? So, Lord, I pray that you help us. First of all, help us to actually be willing to follow through and do what you're asking us to do, to kind of deal with some of our blind spots. God, I pray you give us wisdom on how and who we can talk to help us deal with our blind spots. Lord, I pray that we would be a trustworthy person for the people that are coming our way, and we would be affirming of them and supportive of them as we are dealing with their blind spots, however big, however small. And Lord, like Aaron said, we know we can hear your voice. We know it when we spend time with you. Lord, I pray refreshing all across our church in Jesus' name. Help us not to believe the lie that we should be feeling good without spending any time with you. And help us to really take that first 10%, that first tithe of our fun time, and give it to you so that we can find the true refreshing of our soul. Refresh souls as we take on this challenge in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church.
Like I said at the beginning, God had something specific to talk to you about today, and I'd encourage you to take a step right now. What is something you could actually do based on what God brought to your attention? It could be the action step that was brought out in the sermon, or it could be something different. Just take a step. The Bible says when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. If you're ever in our area, we invite you to participate in person during one of our Sunday worship services. In the meantime, to keep up with everything our church is doing, go to foxvalley.church or download our app and search Fox Valley Church wherever you get your apps. God bless you.